You are listening to BensTorah.com.
Berowine writes, and what she says in the Hakdama to this specific book, that if you analyze world history and Jewish history, especially Jewish history, you will see divine patterns, the things that take place on an ongoing basis, and they repeat themselves over and over again. You just have to look hard and analyze in an objective fashion things that are taking place, and in retrospect you shall see a certain pattern of Hashgacha Pratis that Hashem established in this world when it comes to events relating in particular to Klal Yisrael. The name of today's shiur, the topic that was announced, are the divine patterns of redemption in Jewish history. And what I've developed, and this is my chiddush, and I believe that this is really a chiddush when it comes to putting things in perspective, is that when it comes to the concept of the ultimate redemption of Klal Yisrael, as foretold by all the Gedolei HaNeviim, Neviim Rishonim, Neviim Achronim, you look very carefully in what these Gedolim said, Yitzefi Yeshaya, Yecheskel, Yirmiya, Ukedoma. When you read very carefully to what they said, you're able to see at the end of the day, and also when you add in the various Gemaras and Shas that deal with redemption, that there is a definite divine pattern of what Klal Yisrael is confronted with at major periods at which ultimately redemption took place. And I'm going to give you two models in today's shiur, which have a definite historical interpretation, which demonstrates the major principle I'll be articulating this morning. But I'm going to also project what happened in the past to the current, the present historical situation of Jews in this world, and you will see, without a doubt in my mind, there are divine patterns taking place when it comes to our Geula, not only our redemptions of the past, but our ultimate redemption of the present, which is the final redemption, Chazal say, of Klal Yisrael, as we go to the end of days. So listen very carefully to my presentation this morning. I hope once you hear the share, you'll share this with other members of our Jewish community, with members of your family, because I think there's a mitzvah l'fasem dor v'zeh to give them a sense of hope, a sense of feeling that you should have a emunah b'tochan, that things are on the way. And as Rav Chaim Zatzal, many of the Gedolim who passed away in the last couple of years said, before the Petira, the Mashiach's around the corner, Kindalach, the Yeshua's Kram Olavo, just have patience and do what you have to do, and you will see the redemption unfold in front of your eyes. I personally believe, with my investigation I'm going to share with you today, that this is 100% Emes L'Amitos. Listen carefully as I make my presentation. Over the years, I have mentioned many, many times in many of my shiurim that I had with you the super importance of the Bris Avos, which the Rabbi Hashem started and made with Avraham and Pashas Lech Lecha, extended it quite obviously to Yitzhak and Yaakov. That's what we call the Bris Avos. And referring to the famous Bris called the Bris Bein HaBesarim. What I'm going to show you today in the four major principles of this Bris Bein HaBesarim, that they're not just separate phenomena that will take place when it comes to Klal Yisrael's existence in world history for thousands and thousands of years, but that in fact these four major principles that are contained in the Bris Bein HaBesarim Pashas Lech Lecha will also set the stage for redemptions of Klal Yisrael throughout Jewish and world history. And I will demonstrate how that works. And then I will demonstrate to you how the Dalid Yisodos of the Bris Bein HaBesarim are happening right before our eyes. And the last 100 years plus, maybe even more than 100 years plus, people are not accentuating it, not emphasizing it. But today you will see what I see, and I'll share it with you, and I hope it will share with other individuals as well. Just to do a chazara, what is the bris bein habasar, and what were the four principles that were promised to the Avos? Number one, I taught you in the past, I want you to remember this, is something you should always remember, that we make a bracha Magen Avraham in the front of all the Shemana Esrei we recite, Kol HaShana Kula. This was incorporated by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, who formulated the Nusach HaTefillah as the introductory phrase in our Shemana Esrei, a petition of prayers to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the concept of Magen Avraham, in which is interpreted to mean that Klal Yisrael was promised by Hashem that he is their shield. Now, in what respect is Hashem our shield? That Klal Yisrael will ultimately be proved over time to be an indestructible entity with all the gezeiros, kashos, and attempts to commit genocide against the entire Jewish people, the non-Jewish world will not exceed and succeed in accomplishing this very evil mission. Klal Yisrael, despite all the gezeiros kashos, Rachmana litzlan, despite all the members of Klal Yisrael that might die on Kiddush Hashem during these periods of time, Klal Yisrael, V'chai V'chayim, will still be able to continue to exist, ultimately flourish, replenish its ranks, and those adversaries that tried to orchestrate genocide against us will ultimately be destroyed and eliminated as that type of kingdom, that type of entity from the face of this earth. Klal Yisrael has the promise of Magen Avraham, the shield of Avraham, which means we are guaranteed to be literally indestructible as a nation. We are kayel oilel v'ed to the end of time. That's number one. Promise number two in the bris bein habasarim is the fact that how Klal Yisrael are going to exist against all odds that are facing them. Hashem said to Avraham that he told him, I want to show you outside your tent. You claim you were physiologically incapable with Sarah of having a child. I'm going to show you that that's not the case. It could be, according to natural law, you and Sarah cannot have children. But you and Klal Yisrael are not going to be bound by natural law. You're going to survive and flourish. Lemala midarech hateva, above natural law. A mazal Yisrael, the concept of natural law, which is demonstrated by the mazalot and all the other phenomena Hashem creating the universe to help supervise what goes on down here below and orchestrates their involvement in kiyum ha'olam through Hashem's instruction and through Hashem's direction, and Hashem using them as implements of His ultimate mechadish v'chayom tomit master bereshis, that the Rabbeinu Shalom is not going to subject the Jews to the mazalot, to the kochavim, like the other nations of the world, who are subject to natural law, limited to natural law. The Jewish people will function above natural law, supernaturally, on a physical level. People who can't have children will miraculously have children. I'm sort of the prototype. When it comes to geopolitical issues, things are going to happen for the Jews on a geopolitical level that are incomprehensible. Total change overnight. Napahu. Something you don't find by other nations in their world history. When it comes to everything we do, you're going to find that Klal Yisrael themselves, ultimately speaking, are unstoppable on every level when we're operating with the mechanism of doing things for Hashem's Kiddush Shem Shemayim, to sanctify Hashem's name as His Ar, Am HaNivchar, as His Goy Kadosh, B'Mekayim Nervatzin Hashem. Chanukah is a classical example of this, as I mentioned in the last couple of weeks. we are going to therefore be a supernaturally concept of a people that are able to literally overcome all the impotence, all the various impediments and tsaros people throw at us. We're not going to be stopped by our adversaries. The concept of being given Eretzrel as our ultimate marasha, our heritage, our inheritance. The promise started with the Avais. It's a marasha. Said in Sefer Shmos, Pashas Vaera. It's a heritage that Hashem gave us, and nobody's going to stop us from having that heritage under our ultimate domain and control at the end of time. Nobody's going to snatch it away from us, because Hashem will orchestrate phenomenon that is not something that's going to be able to be done. And world history has demonstrated this. Many nations have tried to displace us, kick us out of Eretz Israel, put us into Galus, exile us, try to resettle the land instead of us. Babylonia couldn't do it. Persia couldn't do it. The Greeks couldn't do it, and the Roman Empire couldn't do it. The Turks tried, and the Arabs have tried. Nobody has succeeded. Hashem promised to us, Amarasha, and to nobody else. And finally, the fourth promise is that we have to be worthy for all these promises. We have to be an Am HaTeira, Am that's Eisa Mitzis, an Am that's Mekadesh Shem Shemaim in what we do, how we conduct our lives, dedicated to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for all the brachas of the Torah to be fulfilled in the ultimate history and legacy of the Jewish people. If we do what we have to do, we'll live in what's called a Geula mode, a redemption mode. If God forbid we sin momentarily and we're punished by Hashem, including going into physical galus, we're still the Am Hashem on the galus mode. It's not an easy period of time. We suffer the pangs of galus, the Shibet HaMalchios, and all that means in a political level. But ultimately, Klal Yisrael will not stay in a galus mode. We repent. Hashem will immediately put us back into Geula mode and be able to continue to live in Eretz Yisrael, being mekayim all the mitzvahs of the Torah, and being subject to the Kedusha and the divine providence of Hashem, Nashkacha Paratis. That's very, very powerful, as Ramban points out. That's exclusive to Eretz Yisrael. In the Geula mode will be Zofar, Zavascha, Lav Davash, and all the brachas contained in the Torah. In this week's parasha, we have a very interesting pasuk, which I would say is one of the major hashkafot of all of these four dalid parts of the Bris Pein HaBesarim. This is something I never mentioned before in my shiurim, and this is an addition that I want to add today, and that is in Parshas Vayigash, when Yaakov was reunited with all the Mishpacha members, including Yosef HaTzadik. And Yaakov, wow, he surged in his spiritual kaichis. And Hashem started calling him in Vayigash Yisrael, my Yisrael. He then revealed to Yaakov that the concept of going down to Eretz Lelehem, which was mentioned in Bris Pein HaBesarim, to Mesaken certain Chatoim of Klal Yisrael of the past, Hashem gave him a Haftacha. And he said to him, Al tira merda mitzrayma. Do not be fearful, Yaakov, that you realize now you and your family going down to Mitzrayim. Ki l'gagodol asimcha sham. The fact you're in Galus, you are going to increase your nation when it comes to numbers. we might have gone down with 70 neshamis listed in the Torah, but we left Mitzrayim 210 years later on with over 3 million men, women, and children, as is mentioned by the Midrashim in the various places dealing with that Tekufa. The Rabbeinu Shalom says, I want you to know something. Anochi Eired Shah Mitzrayma, Anochi Alche Gamalo. When you go down to Golus and to Mitzrayim, being an example of Golus, I'm going to go down with you. Shchinta v'galusa. Hashem Shchina is with us even in our Golus mode, even in the state of Hestefanim. But I want to tell you, I will guarantee, the same way I bring my Shchina out of Golus into Gula, you are going to come with me. There is a very, very strong connection between myself and Klal Yisrael. There's a chain connecting us. My name is called upon Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael called my banim, Atem Lashem Elokeichem. We are family. And therefore, father never lets his children ever be destroyed. Children realize they have a father b'shamayim, a vinusha b'shamayim, who loves them, is concerned with them, watches them, and will keep all the promises he made to them in the very sources of the Torah Shevitzav and Torah Shlapeh I'll be discussing today. This concept of being connected to Klal Yisrael and guaranteeing their existence under all situations is really the linchpin behind the purposes of the Bris Bein HaBasharim, if you think about it for a couple of minutes. Since we're connected to Hashem on such an intricate level, on the promise made in Pashas Vayigash, we now understand the promises of Pashas Lech Lecha. He's our Mogen. We're going to survive L'mala Midarech HaTeva. Even when we're in Golus, Hashem's going to be with us, watching us, taking care of us, arousing us to do tshuva, to return, to go back to a Geula mode. And that Eretz Yisrael will be our Russia for all generations to come. It will never become a capital or a major homeland for any nation on the face of this earth. It's because we are the only children of Hashem, the only Nam HaNivchar, that our name, Hashem's name, are connected. The essence of Hashem and the essence of Klal Yisrael are connected with a golden and divine chain. And Hashem guarantees, therefore, our eternal existence based upon the promise that's explicated in Pashas Vayigash, supplementing, complementing, and giving us the soul behind the Dalel Lashonis of Gevula. With this in mind, I'm going to do something today, as I just promised in the beginning, to show you these are not just four different concepts relating to the Bris Bein HaBasharim. But what I'm going to show to you, in two major historical events in Jewish history, the concept of Golus Mitzrayim and Yetzias Mitzrayim, the concept of Golus in Babylonian Persia, and the redemption from that specific Golus, culminating with the Nes of Purim, the return to Eretz Israel, the rebuilding of the second Beis Hamikdash and such. I'm going to show you now something that people never mentioned before, and the intricate connection between the redemption of Klal Yisrael in these two historical periods of time and witnessing, in retrospect, the divine pattern that Hashem set in the Bris Bein HaBasharim, especially in periods of Klal Yisrael's redemption. Let me explain to you what I mean. When you analyze the concept of our Golus Mitzrayim and our redemption, the concept of Paro and his cohorts wanting to commit genocide against the entire Jewish people, as the Ramban describes, in the beginning of Sefer Shemos, he was advised don't concentrate on killing all the Jews because the Mitzrayim will not react positively because Yaakov and his children brought for many years bracha to Klal Yisrael. Yosef HaTzadik, part of the Jewish people, gave us the ability to survive under the most difficult circumstances. He saved the Egyptian Empire. But there was a desire to commit genocide. Later, Paro decided to limit it to genocide against all the males of Klal Yisrael, killing all the boy babies of the Jews that were being born. There was an attempt to commit genocide against us. But Hashem was our mugging, and he didn't let it happen. The Mashiach of Klal Yisrael Moshe was part of those boys that Paro wanted to kill. He was in the Yam Suf, and he was nitzel by Bas Paro. By Badya. He was nitzel by undergoing a genocide which was promulgated by the Egyptians against us. The Magen Avram was working very strong during that attempt by Egyptians to commit genocide. The Miyaldos HaIvrios withstood the threats of Paro and did not do what he wanted them to do. And therefore, that Magen Avram was visible in the ultimate frustration of the genocide. When it comes to conducting our lives, L'malem Yiderech HaTeva, you have open miracles taking place in Mitzrayim. Despite the fact that we were persecuted, there was tremendous inui mentioned in the Torah and emphasized in our Haggadah on Pesach. What does the Torah tell us? Kashayanu osam ken yibir v'ken yifratz. The more we were persecuted, the more we were prosecuted, the more that they tried to destroy us, yibir v'yifratz, we grew bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. Shaloi b'derech hateva, it didn't diminish our numbers, it increased. Chazal say midrashically, women at that time miraculously gave birth to 6 babies at one time, even without the help of an obstetrician and a gynecologist. The Rabbanu Shalom helped them give birth to these 6 children. Klal Yisrael were literally Makai Pru Vushalai Ulamalami Derechateva, incredibly. That's how we went from 70 to millions. The Mem Teshavi Tuma that were there tried to destroy us, but they couldn't stop us for maintaining the basics of our spirituality. We were Mesuyim Sham. We basically maintained our language, maintained our names, dressed like Jews, despite all the hindrance being thrown at us. We were able to survive total assimilation and acculturation in an environment that was the most corrupt and perverse and immoral on the face of this earth. Also miraculous. And of course, the most obvious, the Yesen Makos. All the Ma'ala Midarech HaTeva, and it wasn't just 10. By the time the Haggadah finishes, 10 becomes more than just 10. 10 becomes many, many more subdivisions of the Makos in Mitzrayim, and then the Makos later on Kriyas Yam Suf. We're going into the hundreds after a while. All of this shows you the promise of us being able to survive L'malem Miderech HaTeva also was a factor in the Golus and Geula of Mitzrayim. The fact that we had Golus taking place and there was a Shibud HaGolios in Mitzrayim, Koshi HaShibud, because unfortunately we decided not to circumcise ourselves. We thought that would generate an Ava for Jews. On the contrary, it generated a sinner and animosity for Jews. We were subject to what? The Morays and the Ashgavas of Mem Tashari Tuma, as later on the Malachim said to Hashem, Halolo Yovde Avadazara, Halolo Yovde Avadazara. Klaus, whether they like it or not, were raised and born and created and lived in an environment of idolatry. It was rubbing off on them. Mem Tashari Tuma. Nevertheless, despite all of those nisyonos of galus, we were able to get out of there. We were mekayin v'mitzvah b'ris milah before we left Egypt. Kiddushim shemayim, but he also has a sakana, a hard desert after a bris milah. We were able to start shedding the mempesh avei tuma while in Egypt and continue for the next 49 days in our trek towards Hasinai to Mekavu the Terah. The car we got there, we had mempesh shari kedusha replacing mempesh shari tuma. So we went from a godless mode to a geula mode. And ultimately, when it came to coming to Har Sinai, we have in Parshas Vayera a pasuk, the pasuk of the Dalid Lishonos of Geula. The Hotzeisi, Hitzalti, Gaalti, Vilakachti, the four different Lishonos relating to the Geulas Mitzrayim itself, taking away the Shibud, our redemption, physically and spiritually, Kabbalah said Torah. But what people don't realize, they're not just four Lashonos of Geula, there are two more. Ve'aveisiyas chem elo'oris ashen asasiyas yodi l'seisasam la'avram l'yizik u'liyakov u'nasati asam lachem ma'urasha ani Hashem. The final purpose of Yitzias Mitzrayim was not only Kabbalah said Torah, which is important, crucial, critical, but then inheriting Eretz Israel and fulfilling the fourth promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim of getting the land of those B'nai Canaan that lived there at the time of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, replacing them and planting the Jewish people in Eretz Israel as their Morasha. That old Hashem says, I'm going to bring you there and fulfill my promise, Avram Yitzchak, with the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Onosati, I'm giving it to you as a matana forever, as a Morasha heritage, not only your Yerusha. We therefore see that the four promises of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, of surviving genocide, Morgan Avraham, being able to live and survive L'malam Yidarech HaTeva, the concept of Golas and Geula, and the things that were dragging us down when it comes to having the Golas become a very, very difficult Golas in Mitzrayim, with tremendous Shibud, Inui, and how we're able to turn it around and do tshuva and eliminate these different forms of Koshia Shibud and prepare the steps for Geula even there. Eating the Karban Pesach, Bimavatl, the deity of Mitzrayim, as the Rambam says in Mor HaNevuchim, caused a tremendous Kiddush Shem Shemayim. We put our lives in danger, telling the Egyptians we're going to kill their deity, their supreme deity, the sheep, the goats, and we're going to eat them as a sudas mitzvah to God in their country. We're going to throw the bones out into the street, place the blood on our doorways in defiance. The Rambam says this was an incredible Kiddush Shem Shemayim of Klal Yisrael, b'mavatel avodah zarah publicly. This was one of the major kaparos for Klal Yisrael that made them go from Golus to Geula. And finally, when we left Eretz Mitzrayim, and the miracles of Kriyas Yamsif in the Midbar, coming to Har Sinai with more miracles, we mekabel Torah, Hashem speaking to us, panim upon him, and eventually getting into Eretz Israel and miraculously conquering the land under the aegis of Yeshua and the Bezdin HaGodol and the Nevi'im and all the other great tzaddikim that exist in that generation and that dar of tzaddikim who were the inheritors of Eretz Israel, the conquerors of Eretz Israel, with the help of the Aron HaKodesh, Vehibis Aron. The Aron came and led us in our combat against the occupants of Eretz Canaan, and we eradicated these mighty nations. Strong and mighty cities seem to be impenetrable, as the Meraglim said, but when you have God on your side, nothing is impossible. And Baruch Hashem, the promise of getting Eretz Israel, which is one of the parts of the Bris Bein HaBesarim, was fulfilled.
You are listening to
the four Yesodos of the Bris Bein Avasarim served as the divine pattern of redemption for Klal Yisrael when it came to the Tekufa of Golus and Yetzias Mitzrayim. When we turn our eyes to the Tekufa of the return of Klal Yisrael to the second Beis HaMikdash, and us being subjugated by the Babylonian Persian empires, and what happened there, let us not forget that there was a Gezeirah during the time of Achashverosh, instigated by Haman HaRosha, Yimach Shmoy V'Zichro, to literally Hash V'Aved, as Kol HaYehudim, all the Jews, men, women, and children. There was an attempt for genocide against all of Klal Yisrael, not just the baby boys. Everybody should be eradicated. Chas v'shalom. What happened when we read the Megillah and read the historical events? It never happened. It didn't take place. Because Hashem was once again our mug and our shield. And he said the guy would never be able to accomplish this phenomenon, no matter how they tried. They could be the most powerful nation on the face of this earth, which Persia was at that time. It ain't gonna be. When it came to the concept of Lamala Midarach HaTeva, when you read the geopolitical phenomena that took place, how Esther Hamalka became the queen of Persia in a geopolitical maneuver that only Hashem could orchestrate, how Mordechai was able to find out a plot to kill Achashverosh that then used it. Later on, Hashem used it, a way of propelling Mordechai to become a major personality in his Persian government with tremendous power. He gave Mordechai a zechar of allowing him to go in the street on the king's horse, Belavush Malchus, being led by Haman the Meshugana, and basically him pronouncing, this is what Hashem wants to do when he wants to give a person kavod. Mordechai would have a royal parade in geopolitical world where they just would go to Gezerah to want to destroy all the Jews. To have a Jewish parade of Mordechai, their spiritual leader, a member of the Sanhedrin. This is a geopolitical phenomenon, Malami Derech HaTeva, Esther Malka, Mordechai. And the fact that ultimately they were able to change the heart and mind of Achashverosh, not Bechu, that we would then have the upper hand to fight all the anti-Semites and the Amalekim of the Persian Empire and eradicate them with the permission and the support of the leader of the Persian Empire. Will you find such a thing when it comes to any world history, political phenomenon? It's Lamayla Midarech HaTeva geopolitically and physically. Another promise of the Bris Bein HaBesarim. Klal Yisrael Nevach were in a very, very poor Golus mode. Rav Shim Ben Yochai, when he talked with his Talmidim and discussed why Klal Yisrael had sunk to such a level of potential genocide, they gave various suggestions. Maybe in the Schayim of Klal, maybe they were punished and were in a Golus mode because they bowed down to the Tselem, which was made by the king, which was looked upon as an Avodah Zarah. Or maybe because they were Nena B'Suda Sarasha, they had an offer from the Suda of Achashverosh that was celebrating that the 70 years have passed, they haven't been redeemed, no longer you're going to have a redemption as the prophets promised you. He went and walked around with the Big Day Kohen and Gadol to Mizalzel. He gave them to drink Kalim and Kalim Shonim of the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash that were despoiled, going back to Nebuchadnezzar and passed on by Yerusha. They now took out the Kalim and therefore they were defiling these Kalim. They will be Mezalzel. And Klal Yisrael said, we can't drink, we can't use them. But it doesn't say that. Nena, they had an awe drinking from them. They seemed to show a lack of hope and desire when it comes to Geula to take place. But Klal Yisrael did tshuva. They were Gezer Tainis. And therefore, when Hashem saw they did tshuva on this, and they really repented with their whole heart, their whole mind,
the miracle of Napachu. They went from a gullus mode with tremendous potential of destruction to a redemption mode where the Malchus of Persia was now supporting their geula. They therefore, at that point in time, realized we're going to have a second Beis HaMikdash, and Persia helped finance the building and geopolitically took away all the Sunim that were trying to prevent them returning to Eretz Israel. Allowed Klal Yisrael to make Aliyah to rebuild the Makom HaMikdash under the jurisdiction and the support of the Persian government. The Galus Geula phenomenon we see very paramount in the time of the Galus and the Geula that basically showed the Tekufah from Churban Bayis Rishon to the building of Bayis Sheni and the Nes of Purim, and ultimately speaking, to the aegis of the king of that time, Dayavish number 2. He is the Persian king who gave us rishus to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash again, to return to Eretz Israel, gave all his political clout to facilitate all of this taking place. So once again, the concept of the promise of Eretz Israel was taking place in this specific geula. Analyze from an aerial view the threat of genocide, Magen Avraham, for the Jews of that Tekufa, they were saved. L'malo miderech ha-teva, they were able to have the whole geopolitical structure and infrastructure of the Persian Empire turned upside down and inside out to become now the major power brokers, what's taking place in the Persian Empire. Going from a gullus mode to a gula mode, the Napafu, through doing tshuva, and mitzvahs of ma'asim tovim, and the afterwards Klal Yisrael developed, they were makabel the Torah once again, where Chazal say that they were makabel with an official kiblu. They were kaiv and they were makabel that which they were makabel before by Har Sinai, kiblu v'kiblu, another kabbalah sateva, another literally development of Klal Yisrael dedicating themselves to Torah mitzvahs on a very high level of mesiras nefesh. And finally, the promise of Eretz Israel. You now see, in two major world events that impact upon Klal Yisrael in world history on a global level, the Gullus and the Geula of Mitzrayim, the Gullus and Geula of the Babylonian Persian Gullus, and the ultimate Geula and the building of Bayis Sheni. All four of them had the four major concepts of the Dalet Yesodos of the Bris Beit HaBasar operating collectively together. There's a divine pattern I never saw anybody else put before together over here. A divine pattern of redemption of Jewish history taking place once again. It's simply incredible. When you think about it and you take all the pieces and you put them together, if you don't see the Yad Hashem over here, I don't know what's going to make you ever believe there's a Yad Hashem Hashkacha Pratis supervising Klal Yisrael's eternal existence. And be mekayim the concepts of the dollar parts of the Bris Bein HaBasarim. But now I'm going to do something now which relates to each and every one of us sitting, listening, and talking in the Shir. And that is, let's look at the events of our Tekufa, where we're alive, we're here, we're watching, we're seeing, we're reading, we're living in a very interesting Tekufa. And what I want to show you, after what I just showed you up until now, that the Bris Bein HaBasarim with its four parts are happening right before our eyes in the last couple of hundreds of years, from the 1700s until the present. And let me show you how this is seen for you to realize you're living now in the third major historical time of a divine pattern of redemption of Klal Jewish history taking place, which will be the final period of Jewish redemption, which will come and culminate with the ultimate Mashiach coming, with the concept of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash, Kibitz Golios, the promises of Yeshaya Navi, that we no longer will need weaponry to defend ourselves. It'll be a world of peace, a world of spirituality, those Goyim who Hashem wants to stay in this world, who are not opposed to Klal Yisrael, want to make peace with us, live with us in harmony, reject their idolatrous gods and believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Forget about the Vatican, forget about Mecca. Everybody's going to come to want to be part of the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Ki Beisi Beis Tefili Yikari Kol HaAmim, that Pasuk in Yeshaya. You're going to see it as being something that's going to be reality in a couple of years. It's already in the process of developing in front of our eyes. One of the four parts of the redemptive process in our Tekufa,
just read through Jewish history, and especially the Jewish history of the 1900s.
Was there ever an attempt to commit genocide against the Jewish people? On the level that it was attempted, as we experienced in the 1900s, in the 30s, and the 40s, by the Nazi regime, Yimach Shemam V'Zichram, L'Netzach L'Tzachim, that they tried to destroy the entire Jewish people. Rachmana L'Tzlan, they succeeded in exterminating, killing, in the most cruel, vicious way, men, women, and children, in their concentration camps. Not only did they kill them by choking them to death in the gas chambers, then burning their bodies, reducing them to ashes, killing people in different cities, Jews with machine guns, and making massive graves. The heinous crimes of the Germans were so crazy that they were so crazy and they were so proud. They made films and movies. It wasn't difficult to prove later on in the Nuremberg trial what the Germans did, because they preserved all the evidence proving their guilt. As crazy as it sounds, they thought they would commit genocide and destroy the entire Jewish people. And they did destroy a major number of Jews, Rachmana Litzlan. Even Tzaddikim, Gedolim, Great Rosh Yeshivas and Rebbes. It's unbelievable what they did. Destroyed Polish Jewry. The Lithuanian Jewry. The Hasidish Jewry. Hungarian Jewry. But guess what? We are still here, Chai V'Kayam. They did not succeed. The Magen Hashem prevented that total genocide from taking place. And ultimately speaking, we're here to talk about it, Zechav Yal Tishkaf, and the Nazi regime, Yimach Shemam V'Nikram, with their infamous leader, are part of the dustbin of history, and they are the curse of the face of this earth, of the greatest racist regime that ever existed, because they were not only out to kill the Jews, but they killed anybody that was not part of the Aryan race. Indiscriminately. The promise of Magen Avraham we see in our survival from that terrible regime and the post-Holocaust growth of the Jews, where we ultimately replenish our numbers and are growing and growing and growing more and more each and every year. The promise of Magen Avraham we see in the front of our eyes. When it comes to Lamala Miderech HaTeva, the fact of the matter that Jews were able to survive, maintain their spirituality under the most incredible duress, risk their lives to do mitzvahs in the concentration camps against all odds, risking their life, davening, seder, Chanukah, Purim, whatever they could do, clandestinely they did. They didn't give up their emunah. They danced and said Animamin in the gas chambers before they died. The Animamin was the song that kept them going. We believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu that one day this horror will leave and Klal Yisrael Chai, Klal Yisrael will continue to exist for eternity. Our existence was Lamala Miderech HaTeva. We actually had people trying to partisan self-defense against the German war machine. Ultimately speaking, the Rabbanim had the world come together in an army that never ever existed before. And they annihilated the Nazi regime with the Japan regime with nuclear weapons, the first time ever used in military history, to get rid of a world threat to human existence, to save the Jewish people. We saw miracles geopolitically, physically, and others, that we were so able to survive an impossible situation and to once again get out of there and be able to go on and rebuild Klal Yisrael once again. The Nir L'mayla Miderech HaTev, if you don't see it, you'll never see it. Why the Tzara took place and why we had the Holocaust, I cannot tell you. My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik said many times, we'll only know when a Navi comes and reveals to us the principle behind why this terrible Holocaust took place. One thing is for sure, the Jews of Europe were warned by the Chafetz Chaim and other tzaddiki, Rabbi Simcha Devince, to leave Europe and go to Eretz Israel before the Nazi regime took hold. Get out of there, save yourself. Those Jews who listened are still chai v'kayim in their families ad hayom hazeh. Those families who ran to other countries between World War I and II and escaped to America or to South America because they saw the warnings of the tzaddikim. Get out of there. They're chai v'kayim. But the fact of the matter is, many people didn't go because they were moyes b'Eretz Yisrael. They didn't have a liking, a desire to want to be in Eretz Yisrael. They loved Europe. The Jews of Berlin said, we don't need Yerushalayim. Berlin is our Yerushalayim. And Rameya Simcha Devince wrote a whole piece on this in his Mesher Chachma, crying about such a statement. But at the end, the fact of the matter is, we survived the Holocaust. We went from a gullus mode with a hest upon him she'ein kamohu in world history. And we're able to go to Eretz Israel. We keep Admo, so Admo, as many point out, the Hakomis HaMedina that took place during this Tekufa, slowly but surely, is a miraculous phenomenon with Siyata Deshmaya from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the ultimate ability to return to Eretz Israel is a miraculous phenomenon. When you think about the fact that the Vilna goes to Kufa, he sent his Talmidim to rebuild Eretz Israel together with the Baal Shem Tov separately doing the same thing. In the 1800s, the Netziv and other Gedolim pushed to support the Jewish communities in Yishuvim and Eretz Yisrael, raise money, send people there to help build it, send Torah there, do whatever you can to rebuild the Yishuv, under the eyes of the Tsar of Russia, who did not intervene, even though he was a vicious anti-Semite. Hashem was pulling the heartstrings, turning his attention to something else. Ultimately, the Balfour Declaration, where at that time Britain and the King of England had a Balfour Declaration declaring he's going to establish a Jewish homeland for the Jews once again. The development of the League of Nations in 1922, actualizing the promise of the Balfour Declaration, where the majority of the nation says we're going to make a Palestinian mandate and return the Jews to Eretz Israel. Something in world history that never ever existed before. Arishit HaMalchus on an incredible level. But ultimately, the consummate, what happened after World War II, where the United Nations came together and the General Assembly voted to return the Jews to Eretz Yisrael and make a Jewish homeland, whether the Arabs like it or not. And Russia joined America the first time in the history of the United Nations to both vote in the affirmative to support a Jewish homeland for the Jews. Even though Stalin was a tremendous anti-Semite, miraculously Hashem pulled his heartstrings, and he pushed that this should happen, and they even pushed America not to retreat from the promise they made, are getting back to Eretz Israel, and slowly but surely fighting the Arabs who tried to prevent us succeeding in our redevelopment of the land, our settlement there. When Ben-Gurion declared the official Hakamas in 1948, 22 Arab nations that had the most sophisticated weaponry on the face of this earth tried to prevent this phenomenon from taking place. The world and the betting parlors felt, and this was said to Truman by his State Department, give the Arabs a couple of days, and the Jewish problem in Eretz Israel for the Jews will no longer be on our agenda. But that wasn't the machshava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They were not aware of the bris bein habasam and the promise that Eretz Israel is the marash of the Jewish people for eternity. And with freedom fighters, no tanks, no air force, no major mortars, no major modern equipment, 600,000 Jews, men and women, children, fighting millions and millions of Arab soldiers with all the most sophisticated weaponry. In 2 years, they defeated the Arab armies, who begged for an armistice. A miracle of Rabba Miad Miyadim. Chazok B'Atalash, we talk about in the Alanisim that we recite on Chanukah. This was a super duper Rabba Miad Miyadim. Chazokim b'yad chaloshim. It's incredible. Even HaGadol Yisrael, in their history books, quote the pasuk, Me'eis Hashem hoyas azos, he niflos b'ineinu. We see the Yad Hashem fulfilling his promises in the bris bein habasarim. In our tekuf, we therefore see, once again, the dalad yesodos of the bris bein habasarim, the attempt to commit genocide, which was frustrated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, using the nations of the world to eliminate the Nazi regime in its entirety, make it part of the dustbin of world history, the ability to survive against all odds during the Holocaust itself, spiritually and physically, and after we're emancipated, to rebuild Eretz Israel on the miraculous level we see it today, being one of the most prominent countries on the face of this earth, not only the religious center of the universe, every religion wants to have a part somehow in Eretz Israel. They see the spiritual essence of God there, they feel it when they come to Eretz Israel. We were able to become not only the spiritual center of the world, but the source of modern technology, scientific advancements, medical miracles. The Jews with the Kaf Chachmas Hashem that was given to them are major contributors to all the good things that are happening in society today in every area. The more Jewish Lobon Orients than any other nation on the face of this earth. This is Siyata Deshmaya V'Kadosh Baruch Hu. This is the hand of Hashem fulfilling the promises of the bris bein habasarim. We got back Eretz as Amarasha. There are millions and millions of Jews that are living there. We already passed the numbers of the Holocaust, and they're growing bigger and bigger. The fact that the nations of the world are fearful of the military power of the Jewish people, which was never seen in world history before. Russia's afraid of us. Iran's afraid of us. All the major Arab governments are afraid of us. How many wars took place for the War of Liberation? Who ever heard of a Six-Day War? No other nation in the face of this earth who thought they could replicate what the Jews did were ever able to do so. It's incredible when you see the miracles that took place in the wars of the Jews against all odds. We have one of the most powerful air forces on the face of this earth. All of this is the Yad Hashem. Rav Kasha, the great encyclopedist, Tehillim Shleimus, says he found a Medrash Chazal which I want you to always remember. He says, when you see the nations of the world helping the Jewish people be given the most modern equipment and weaponry to defend themselves and protect themselves against their adversaries and to succeed, when you see that event happening, that's a siman that the Mashiach is coming and he's around the corner. My dear brothers and sisters, we never saw this in world history for thousands of years until we came to our period of time. We're witnessing that we are looked upon as the sixth or seventh world power in our ability to protect ourselves and protect Jews around the world, as we did in Entebbe and other places. We have a miraculous koach given to us by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most interesting phenomenon, which we should never forget, HaKaras HaTov, to Trump and Jared Kushner, the Abraham Accords, like a Bris Avraham, that all the major anti-Semitic Arab regimes, Egypt, Jordan, soon to be Saudi Arabia, Dubai, just go around the map, all want to be in an accord with the Jews to make peace, economic, medical, scientific, physical, support with one another. The irony is, Israel is now protecting all of these Arab regimes against Iran. And Iran is afraid of Israel because when they tried to use atomic weapons in the past, Israel performed missions that no other country would ever try and destroyed their nuclear infrastructure. They're now destroying it slowly but surely in different types of ways. The Rabbeinu Shalom is showing the promise of our indestructibility, our promise of getting back Eretz Israel, our promise of going from Golus to Geula right before our eyes, our ability to function l'mala miderech hateva on every level, physical, militarily, politically, and otherwise. We are literally a superpower in the eyes of the Goyim, a great Kiddush Shemei Shemayim. Ki mitziyan teitzei seira t'vahashem Yerushalayim l'chasam sefer. It means in every field, and everything else, we're going to be the world leader when it comes to the end of times. And when it comes to attempts for genocide, forget about it. The Rabbeinu Shalom said you tried everything you possibly could, world at large. Your Gog and Magog milchamas did not succeed. And it won't succeed now anymore. Those who destroy, want to destroy the Jews will be destroyed. Those who support the Jews and want to live in peace with them will be able to survive and live, as the Nevi'im talk about this in their Sifrei Nevi'im. Let's hope and pray and say to our Kaddish Baruch Hu, Ana'imamim b'muna shleim v'bi'as Mashiach tzidkenu, we believe that the Mashiach's going to come. We believe in all the promises made to us in our Holy Torah. We see the divine redemption and patterns of redemption of Klal Yisrael in the Tekufa of Mitzrayim, the Tekufa of the Persian exile, and the redemption of Purim, and we see it happening in front of our eyes. Open your eyes and see it. Read about it. Feel it and understand. As Reb Chaim said before he passed away, the Gadol Hadar, the Mashiach is here and is ready to come. It just needs us to believe in that. Better our ways, come closer to Hashem, with spirituality, with Torah and Ruchnius, and do what we have in our Avas Chesed, be mekadesh Shem Shemayim, u'lashana haba b'yishleim ha'benuya. Thank you for listening today and seeing the divine patterns of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the redemption of Klal Yisrael, not only of the past, but taking place right in front of our eyes, as I just explained.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.